Have you been listening to this show for a while? Do you like this show? Do you want to see it continue? There's one way you can do that. You can actually visit our Patreon page and donate some money to make sure the show continues. That's the only way we fund the show, the only way we make it happen. Go to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. Find out bonus stuff you can get for supporting us and make sure the show keeps on trucking.
This carabiner looked like it was made of metal, it was made of plastic, and now I am falling to my death. E3. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens. My favorite thing in the world. I love our Facebook group. I love everybody who's in our Facebook group. And there are certain kinds of posts that happen in our Facebook group, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm coming to notice them. If you haven't been to the Facebook group yet, you should. It's facebook.com/groups/wehaveconcerns.
I enjoy it very much too. I'm spending more time there. Yeah. I've been going more often. It's good stuff.
There are a few different types of posts that we get. One is just the kind of like people putting in an article with like a discussion prompt, a topic, a question they have about it, or something interesting that they noticed about the article. The second is people just kind of like posting to chat with each other, like fun moments or silly pictures or things in their lives that relate to things that we've talked about. And right. I love seeing those.
Yeah.
The third one is
somebody posted something about two scientists that fell in love with each other. There's a news story about.
Oh no, I have that phrase muted because they don't have to fall in love with each other. They can
but
just
they
be coworkers.
Did.
No, but they didn't.
They did because it was magic.
That's the exception that proves the rule. But the third type is somebody who just posts something and literally says, "What the fuck does this mean?"
Okay.
Julie Watts sent this into the group. I don't believe she used the F word. I don't want to ascribe any profanity to Julie Watts that wasn't there. But she basically posted it and said, "What does this mean?"
The fuck.
And it was a headline where I looked at it and I was like, yeah, what does this mean? This is from sciencealert.com. It says, "The human brain can create structures in up to 11 dimensions." Subheadline, quote from a scientist, "We found a world that we had never imagined."
All right, slow down, Carboni.
Slow down, science.
Slow down everything. We got to parse this out real quick. So a lot of words went by real fast.
Yes.
It sounded like you said 11 dimensions.
Yep.
It sounded like you said human brain.
Did it sound like I did it in a really cool movie trailer voice?
A little bit.
Okay, yeah. I was getting there. That's
in a
fine.
World.
In a world. We found a world that we had never imagined.
And it was inside our brains the whole time.
We thought there were only 10 dimensions. two scientists who are not in love, but maybe they could be.
They both see each other in a very professional way, except for that one time when their hands touched.
There's an 11th dimension! It's full of evil!
But the 10th dimension is love. Bound, bound,
that
down,
took a turn.
Down, 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 down.
I'm walking on sunshine. So you're telling me to slow down, Jeff. What do you need first?
Well, 11 dimensions kind of sticks out as
sure.
as a what?
Are you ready? What yeah. if I told you these 11 dimensions are not perceptual the way we see dimensions? These 11 dimensions have to do with a description of connectivity.
Oh, well, that seems a lot less crazy. So
yeah.
we're not talking.
This is one of those sweet.
Length, width, height, space, time. We're not
yeah.
talking dimension like dimension. We're talking it's related physically to one another.
Yes. So this is one of those things. It's so rare that true scientific discovery gets to have like a real clickbaity headline. It's so rare. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
like in even the clickbaitiest headlines in science, if it's real science reporting, are usually not even that clickbaity. They're
yeah.
just kind of like, sorry, you don't understand what this term means. And it sounds like something different to you.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on here is you think the brain can see through 11 dimensions and you just picture like a million little TARDISes in your brain. And like
right. Yeah. Kaleidoscope.
Micronauts and kaleidoscopes
yeah.
and psychedelic shit. So this is, first of all, the latest brain model that we have from the Blue Brain Project. This is that Swiss research initiative that was started, I think, around 2010 to map the human brain.
Right.
We've got the genome. Let's get the brain.
Now it's crazy. We shrunk some Swiss people down.
Mm-hmm.
We gave them a compass and some cartography equipment.
An 11-dimensional map.
And we put them inside the brain.
Okay, so...
no, we definitely saw this before.
Navigator here. Navigator here. And I have a question, Captain.
Yeah.
I know north is up.
Yeah.
What is dimension 7? Because I've also folded the map into a rhombus.
That's exactly the right way to do it.
Okay.
But that only gets you to dimension 5.
I hate the brain.
I know. But I definitely know we've been here before. Tomorrow.
11 dimensions is a term that has to do with algebraic topology. So algebraic topology...
Oh, that just clears it up.
Yeah. Algebraic topology is a branch of mathematics that is used to describe the properties of objects and spaces as they change shape. Okay. So this is a thing that is going to have a certain shape and structure, but we know that it's going to change over time.
Right.
So that's why we're thinking 11 dimensions, right?
Right.
This is how
it looks. It's connected in 11 ways, but not always the same ones.
Yes. This is how it's connected. This is how it will connect. This is how it has connected.
Right.
And these are the possible ways that it could connect. So that's what they mean by 11 dimensions. And so what they're doing is the structure of the brain, the more we find out about it, the more we're just like, fuck, we don't know shit about the brain.
Right.
We do have these ideas of what sections of the brain kind of are responsible for what. Mm-hmm. But we also know that if some sections of the brain are missing...
Yeah, sometimes others will take up the mantle and be like, well, it needed to be done.
It just needed to be done, so we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And then there are other times where it's like, we have an idea of how things work in the brain, and then we find out that it's done completely differently. So we now know that memories are distributive, right? So we know that that memory of your high school graduation doesn't exist in one three-dimensional point of your brain.
Right. It could exist in a bunch of places in your brain, and it combines to form that memory.
And that memory is probably super embarrassing,
yeah,
if I can be honest.
It's not worth putting in so many places.
I know mine is super embarrassing, and my brain can free up that space at any time.
Is that kind
like remember more like Marvel Comics continuity or some garbage? I don't need anything important, brain.
Is that kind of what they're describing here? Is that the idea is that these neurons are sort of connected in so many different ways, up to 11 different ways that stuff is distributed, and that's how it's distributed?
Yeah, exactly. So what we're looking at here is structures called neuronal cliques, okay?
Oh, like the jocks and the stoners and the...
Hey, what's
nerds.
Up, guys? I'm responsible for spatial recognition. Can I have lunch with you?
No, bro. Everybody here is for physical manipulation of objects. That's what we do. We physically manipulate objects and you get the fuck out.
Hey, wait, Tad. Maybe we should let the new guy sit with us.
What?
Maybe he's not so different from you and I.
But... we're so different because look at how strong and physical we are. And that guy is about spatial something.
I've already forgotten, Tad. But listen, this is me, the Stallone neuron. Maybe you can sit with her. Maybe you can sit with her. Thanks. I don't want to, though. You guys seem weird.
Stallone neuron.
So the team took a bunch of, they took a model that we had of the neocortex that they had from 2015. Very appropriate, what with the new Crash Bandicoot collection coming out. And the neocortex is the most recently evolved part of our brain, from what we understand. This is higher order functions, right? Sensory perception, cognition, the things that make us the cool humans that we are today.
Homo sapiens sapiens.
Yeah. So they took these things and they looked at these neuronal cliques. And these are neurons that all come together in groups and then have to connect to other groups. Now, we have 86 billion neurons in our brain.
That's a big school of neurons.
Yeah. So one of these neuronal cliques is infinitesimal, right? So the tightly connected neurons are cliques. And then there are empty spaces between them called cavities.
Okay.
Right. And so now we have this ridgy, weird brain full of stuff and not stuff.
Right.
And so what they did was they took this algebraic topology, which they describe, I love this, a telescope and a microscope at the same time.
Yeah.
This is a mathematical model.
Did I just blow your mind, said scientist?
Yeah, it's far away and it's tiny and close. What's up, bitches?
And then it says in the article here that the scientist then just dropped the mic and left the stage.
So It's a telescope.
What's up, bitches? Everybody?
What's up, bitches?
We made a telescope and a microscope that are the fucking same thing.
Is it far away, but also very tiny to the human eye?
Look, put your eye up to it. You're near, you're far, you're here, you're there. Hop on pop, motherfucker.
Woo! Bam, 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 bam. Thanks you for this Nobel Prize, stormtroopers hitting the ground.
It can zoom into these networks in the brain and find hidden structures. They describe it as the trees in the forest, the empty spaces, the clearings. It can see them all at the same time.
Wow.
And these neurons connect in these clicks. So a neuron connects to another neuron and forms like a rod in between them. Think about like... What are those names? Not Legos, but the ones that are like the spokes and the wheels. Yeah.
Yeah.
Connects. Yeah. So you have a rod. You have two neurons connected with a rod.
Right.
2D.
Okay.
Then they connect into cubes. 3D.
Okay.
Then those cubes connect together in complex ways, not through time, not through matter.
Right.
You know, they connect.
No, you're saying, so let me just break this down because it's a little confusing and I might not be getting it correctly.
Okay.
So- If you're a circle and a circle and you're connected with the rod, that's 1D or 2D.
Welcome to two dimensions.
Right. So then you turn that circle into a cube, which then has other surfaces to draw lines off of, to draw connectors off of, right?
No.
No? Okay, good. I'm glad I clarified.
So think of the neurons as the nodes, the hubs, right? And these rods are what connect them, right?
Yeah.
So you have the straight line of one. That's considered a two-dimensional connection, right?
Right.
So now take that and draw that cube that you drew in your notebook as a kid.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's more sticks and more rods.
That becomes. I see.
That becomes a three-dimensional shape.
It's about the it's about the shape that you're creating with the connections.
It's about It's about kind of exponentially creating more surfaces to this shape and more complex structures to this shape. But it doesn't go through some wormhole in the brain through time or something.
Right.
They just mean like, hey, if you then take a bunch of those cubes and connect them in a way, that becomes 4D, 5D, that sort of thing. So the progression of activity through the brain resembles a multi-dimensional sandcastle that materializes out of sand and then disintegrates.
Yeah.
Because the connections are always changing.
It was so weird for that scientist to pick up the mic again and then say that and then re-drop the mic.
Yeah.
But it was so worth it because that was fucking cool.
Yeah, he picked it back up.
He like slowly walked back out onto
the
stage.
And then very quietly. And it was after everybody left. And he took out his notebook where he keeps his dreams and his poetry and he said, progression of activity through the brain resembles a multi-dimensional sandcastle that materializes out of the sand and then disintegrates. And then his friend came up and was like, my dude, what are you doing, man?
But
and I'm like, nothing, dog. I was just picking back up that mic that we dropped because it is polite to do so.
But little did he know, it seemed like everybody had left, but in the back corner of the auditorium, there was one female scientist who had stayed behind, and she heard those words.
But not somebody that he works with.
Well, they work together.
No.
And they had always been professional.
No.
It's weird because she's actually married.
No.
But she had never heard him speak like that
before. That's not what happened. They did not get together.
She never heard him express anything like that.
They do not have to get together, and they won't.
She didn't know he had a notebook.
No, goddammit. Of course she knew he had a notebook. He's a fucking scientist. They have notebooks.
Right, but he didn't know he wrote like this in the notebook. She thought it was all equations.
And it doesn't matter because she's married, and she's happily married, and it doesn't matter. And his poetry is bad. So this is something where like these are much more complicated connections than they expected to find.
Right.
They didn't expect to find these complicated ways that things could these possibilities.
The brain was complicated.
No, they thought no. They were like, it's just a fucking brain, y'all.
How complicated could it be?
It's just the human mind, idiots.
They were expecting it to be like,
I'm a human mind.
The problem was that
I need to think of that. I didn't remember everything.
They'd been exclusively.
I'm a human mind. I don't understand the new Hulu interface.
They'd been exclusively.
Everything on Twitter is round now. I don't get it. I'm the human mind.
No, Anthony, they've been exclusively examining gymnast brains is the problem.
That's what it is.
That's the problem.
Where's my pommel horse?
They did not feel bad dissecting gymnast brains. So that's all they'd done.
These are parallel bars. I need uneven bars or I can't flip today.
Look at me. I'm a gymnast. Flippity flip.
I'm super, super skilled at and I know how to contort my body and fly through space.
I move with the grace of an angel. Look at me.
I'm mostly muscle.
Idiots.
Stupid gymnasts.
Fucking hate gymnasts.
But so this is much more complicated than they originally imagined. What does that mean? What information now are we able to leverage in our understanding of the brain?
Jeff, are you ready for the answer?
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows, my dude? The answer is...
More questions?
Who the fuck knows?
The answer is more questions.
The findings provide a new picture of how the brain processes information,
An 11D picture.
An 11D picture. Well, it's a much more... I mean, we know about... it's a much more malleable picture of neuronal clicks and connections than we thought.
Okay.
It's more complicated. It's able to change on the fly more than we thought. There are more possibilities for these... for ways for these things to connect than we thought. Now, because we are still learning how they connect... We have to figure out what that means when they do so.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And so we're watching.
What do these connections mean and how? Because the thing that makes me, the question that immediately pops into my head through my 11D connection of neurons is as we age and as our brain deteriorates and we start losing brain function, is it because we're losing 11D connections to neurons? Are neurons losing? Or... does just a couple of those connections impact the entire system?
Yeah. It's crazy because we're getting farther and farther down into these structures. You know, we're looking at, we looked before at like brain regions, and then we started looking at synaptic connections, and then we started looking at neurons and neuronal connections, and we're getting down to like the very, 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 very building blocks, right? And so like, it's easy to think about, hey, what happens when these neural connections change and break down, and can they always connect that way? Because we think of synaptic connections that way, right?
Right.
And we think about like, oh, as we get older, our synaptic connections get less myelinated. We're less able to send sort of signals between synapses the way we thought we were able to. And so like, oh, maybe neurons work that way too. And maybe that's how neurons go. But we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. We only have the various models that we've already connected together.
Right.
And that's what I think is fascinating is like now... You know, we always connect. I always mention the genome when we mention this because I remember we got the map of the genome around the same time we all got like our first iPods.
Yeah.
The iPod.
Yeah, I remember that one Christmas where we got iPods and
a map of the human genome.
Yeah. Everybody was opening them and freaking out. There's all those videos of the kids are like,
oh my God!
Genome map! Ah!
My favorite cytosine. What's yours?
I don't know.
I like them all.
I like the one that you said.
actually, the reason I remember that they coincided is because as soon as the Human Genome Project actually released the human genome data to the public, they released it in an iPod compatible file. Remember, iPods used to have file storage.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And so you could just like put it on your iPod and you're like, I've got the whole human genome on my iPod. And somebody would be like, well, that's like... you can't listen to that.
Exactly.
What do you do with that?
Yeah.
You know, look at it. It's just a bunch of like scrolling through with that physical scroll wheel and it's just like G's and C's.
So many G's and C's.
So many G's and C's. And then, but also T's and A's, Jeff.
Yeah, you're right. No joke. Can't forget the T and A.
No, you didn't go anywhere, so you're fine. You're still safe.
No, good. Thank God.
But that's the reason I connected. And one of the things that I think about when we first had the human genome on our iPods, the first question is, why on your iPod? And the second question was always like, cool, we mapped it. What does that mean? What did we find out?
Right.
And the answer is nothing yet.
That was just the beginning.
We just have a map.
Literally the beginning.
But now, God, we're what? We're the first iPod was 2001, 2002?
I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But the point is, we're like all these years later, we now have like CRISPR-Cas9. We have these ideas of like what these genes do. And we like, and now we know how they interconnect and how epigenetic connections work and switches work and those sort of things. We are getting the map. We don't even have what we had on our iPods back in 2001 yet.
Two little tiny Swiss people inside that brain are really, really turning out some good content.
They're super brave.
Yeah.
They are the Lewis and Clark of our time.
They are. Little tiny.
Let's check in with them now. Okay. I folded it into sort of an MC Escher-esque, like it's a Mobius.
I know we've been here before. It was either next week or it was on the moon. I know we were here and we've never been here.
Hey, what are you guys doing at our table, you fucking losers?
Oh, okay, we can't sit here. Sorry. Oh, hey, nice delts.
Thank you. I have the most developed delts of any neuron. Even though we don't have them, I work out, so I have the, you get the impression that I have very strong delts.
Yeah.
I guess you guys could sit with us.
You want to sit with us last week or tomorrow?
Oh, man.
Fuck this! I just wanted to be a cartographer! I enjoy the pure, simple joy of drawing a map!
He'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
I will be fine! Godspeed, you two Swiss people who don't sound like Swiss people because we don't know what that accent is. Probably no. French.
Yeah.
Or German. Because there's German, Swiss, and French. Anyway, we can't talk about that right now because we're out of time.
Sounds like this. Hey, if I'm Swiss.
Guys, specifically Julie Watts,
yeah,
who suggested this. Did we help at all?
No, we spent 20 minutes and we did not answer what the fuck. I don't think.
I think we answered what the fuck, and the answer is not much the fuck yet.
Not much the fuck yet.
Is that fair okay? Enough,
but potentially,
sometimes that's okay.
Potentially the fuck.
Potentially the fuck.
There's
is
a
fuck.
Good potential for the fuck.
Ooh, there's potential for the fuck like it was an R&B song, my friend. Like there's gonna be some.
By the
fuck.
Way, my favorite R&B song is potential for the fuck.
Yeah, girl. I'm glad you came over tonight. Because we got.
Did I tell you I was about to say that was R. Kelly, right? And all my brain, all my neuronal connections would say is that was R.L. Stein, right?
Even better.
You remember R.L. Stein's young adult fuck series, Fuck Street?
It's that weird kid that lost his parents and had to be adopted by that.
Welcome to Fuck Street, kid. Weird things happen here. Oil yourself up.
Yeah. There's a couple of possibilities of how this evening can go. There's a possibility that you leave, or there's a possibility of
that you fuck this, you fuck this haunted ventriloquist dummy. Welcome to Fuck Street.
R.L. Stein's Fuck Street. Soundtrack
guys,
available on Arista Records.
If we helped you out at all, specifically you, Julie, if we helped you out at all, please let us know on Twitter. I'm at @acarboni.
I'm at Jeff Cannata.
You can hashtag those. I'm not going to make you hashtag them Fuck Street. Hashtag those Swiss brain.
There you go.
And hey, if you haven't had, if you
I'm
haven't
enjoying the show. Sorry, thought that's where you were headed.
If you haven't gone to the Facebook group yet,
mm-hmm.
go check it out.
Yeah,
we are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds strong, thousands strong at this point.
Mighty.
We are a mighty group of inquisitive, curious, concerned individuals.
Very worried people.
Very worried people.
Yes.
So come get all that out at facebook.com/groups/wehaveconcerns.